internship and fellowship, mission and learning opportunities. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder standing at the communion table following worship this morning. And it is good to be back with you after 2 weeks of study leave. My time at Colgate Rochester Crozier Divinity School is always wonderfully nourishing for my soul and also my mind. And actually, you all this morning get a chance to be part of my homework. Yes, you get to be part of my homework. So one of the classes that I took was preaching the Old Testament. So just when I thought my first Sunday back, I could come back with a nice uplifting sermon, here we are, Old Testament. Now, what I'm asking for is some feedback. This is not an evaluation. I already have a professor who will grade me. I assure you of that. What I'm asking for you to do is during the sermon, there's a yellow piece of paper in your bulletins. I mean, take a look at what's written on it. More about that in a minute. But the back page there is empty. If you would, jot a few notes down. Or you can email me when you get home. And reflect during the sermon on, really, where did the sermon connect with you? What caught your attention or your imagination? That's it. Where did the sermon connect with you? Just share your thoughts. Please do include your name on it in case I have any questions or any follow-up, any feedback that's brought in that doesn't have a name on it. I don't even look at it. It goes in the trash. So make sure that you've got a name with that. And I appreciate any insights that you might have. All right. So back to the other side of that paper. So do read that over, because next Sunday, an amazing opportunity for everyone to have fun and be a part of the mission and ministry moving forward is with what we are calling beta training. This is GPC in action, and we are learning the ways we're moving forward in mission and ministry. That'll be after the annual congregational meeting and potluck. It will be a wonderful day of ways to engage your faith and also in the life of this church. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to let me know. And one other announcement. No one else gave me announcements other than what I have this morning. Are the prayer cards for the Jamaica team out in the hallway? Your messages of love and support would be wonderful as we send our team off in a few weeks. In your bulletin, you will also see a list of supplies that the basic school in Jamaica has requested that we bring with us. If you're able to donate any of those, if you can have them to my office before February 1st, so we can pack those in the suitcases and be on our way and ready to go. All right, friends, a wonderful morning. Let us warm our hearts and our souls with worship as we worship our holy God.
Good morning. What a wonderful way to start our worship. Please rise for the call to worship. Welcome to the Wanderers. Welcome to the thirsty in body and spirit. Welcome to the troubled. God's peace meet us here.
As we meet our Lord and join in this time of worship, we bring all that we are, including our brokenness, to God and one another. Please join with me in the prayer of confession. For the times we are afraid of the stranger, for the times we refuse the stranger because we think our resources are just too meager, Lord, forgive us. For the times we stereotype the stranger as enemy, as dangerous, as inferior somehow, Lord, forgive us. For the times we are too busy trying to impress our guests, for times we think we are being hospitable, but instead serve only our own needs, Lord, forgive us. For the times we miss the gift of the stranger, for the times we close our door in fear, for the times we miss your face in the other, Lord, have mercy, forgive us. Hear these words from Christ. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So go forth in the power of the Almighty, who forgives you and loves you. Amen.
brought us is the word of love.
Who's gonna feed the hungry, you and I? Care for the sick and lonely, you and I? Who's gonna let the whole world see? People can live in harmony, let's try. You and I, you and I.
All of the children at this time are welcome to come forward. Hi, friends. Why don't you guys sit over here? I've got to get something out over here. Ready? Keep going. Come on. Hi. The danger in asking this congregation for old suitcases is I get a ton of them. But that's a good thing, because you know what? I am going on a trip, not a vacation, though. In a couple weeks, myself and going to Jamaica. Look at you. You are so smart. And I am so excited about our upcoming trip to Jamaica that I am already starting to pack suitcases. I know. So have you guys been on a trip before? Yes, where have you gone? Anywhere good? Yeah, where have you gone? Disney World, that's an awesome trip. That's definitely vacation. Kansas, sweet. Where else? North Carolina. You guys are worldly travelers here. Where have you been? Same thing as her. Disney World, where have you guys been? Georgia. Yes. Bermuda, serious. You guys have been, where have you been? Michigan. You guys have been all over the place. When you guys go on trips, do you pack suitcases too? Yes. Do you put a lot of stuff in your suitcases? Yes. Do you take anyone with you when you go on trips? No. You go by yourself, Will. You are a worldly man. I know. So Will's off by himself. All right. How about the rest of you? Do you put your parents in the suitcases? No, yes, you'd like to. I bet you would. It's always a lot of fun when we can go places with the people that we love, isn't it? And our Bible stories this morning, we are going to hear about people who are on trips. Jesus, in Sunday school, you guys will listen to Jesus and his trip back home. And in worship, we are going to hear the story about Hagar and Ishmael from the Old Testament and their trip, which was definitely not a vacation and definitely not any fun, out into the desert. Because where they were living, the people there were awfully mean to them. And they went out into the world, and they were by themselves. So when you guys go off somewhere by yourself, can it sometimes be a little scary? Yeah, no, Will, I know, you're a solo man. But for some of us, being by ourselves can be a little bit scary, a little bit lonely. And this morning, I've been thinking a lot about the kids and the families all over the world who have not had safe places to live and who are trying to find a good and safe place where there is water and food and shelter. And so I was thinking about those folks, and I was wondering about where God is in all of that. In the story from the Bible this morning, we learn that God is with Hagar and Ishmael. And God is with each of us, wherever we might go, even if we think we're alone. God is with us and showing God's love to us. And we have an opportunity that when we meet people who are far from home, to help them to feel God's love by practicing kindness. How might we do that? If we meet someone new, and we aren't quite sure who they are, how would we treat them? What would we do? Yeah, treat them nicely with God's love. Do you think a smile? Yeah? Maybe playing with kids on the playground? There are all sorts of ways, and you guys will learn some more about how Jesus teaches us to show God's love in the world to all God's people. So would you pray with me? Yes? All right, let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for always being with us and with all people all around the world. Amen. Thank you, friends, and I will see you next week. But have fun in Sunday school, and great job this morning, junior choir, singing. Whoa, that is awesome. Fun, wherever you're going.
The first reading of the word this morning is from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them, those who are being tortured as though yourselves were being tortured.
Amen. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from Genesis, chapter chapter 21. The child Isaac grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, playing with her son Isaac. So she said to Abraham, "Cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not inherit along with my son Isaac." The matter was very distressing to Abraham on account of his son Ishmael. But God said to Abraham, "Do not be distressed because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you, for it is through Isaac that offspring shall be named for you. As for the son of the slave woman, I will make a nation of him also, because he is your offspring." So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder along with the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, Hagar cast the child under one of the bushes, and then she went and sat down opposite him a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot. For she said, "Do not let me look on the death of the child." And as she sat opposite him, she lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the boy. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What troubles you, Hagar? Do not be afraid, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Come, lift up the boy and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make a great nation of him." And then God opened her eyes. She saw a well of water. She went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. And God was with the boy, and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert with the bow. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother got a wife for him from the land of Egypt. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. His name was Alan Kurdi. We didn't know his name when we first saw the image of the tide-tossed little boy in a bright red shirt, blue shorts, and black sneakers, lying in the surf of a Turkish beach. We didn't want to look, and yet we found ourselves unable to look away. There was something about seeing that mop of dark brown hair and the ordinariness of that red t-shirt and faded blue shorts. He connected with our hearts. He reminded us of a son, a nephew, a grandchild, a neighbor. We knew that he wasn't our child, but in our hearts, he could have come from any of our homes. And we could not look away. I remember when I was working as a chaplain at a children's hospital, this broken body of a small child who was involved in a car accident came in, and at one point a nurse stepped out of the room in tears, and she sobbed in my arms, telling me that The pajamas the child was wearing were the exact same ones that she had put on her child before she came in for her shift that night. But she went back in that room to care for the child because she knew in her mind that he was not hers. But in her heart, she knew she could not look away. I wonder, in hearing the richness of this text from Genesis, if Hagar remembers what Ishmael was wearing the day she laid his dying body beneath the bush in the wilderness. When she laid him there, the author tells us that Hagar did not want to look. But any of us who are parents, being a mom, we know that she did not look away. So the question that I'm inviting us to struggle with in this text this morning is, are we looking away? Are we looking away from the children and the mothers and the fathers, all of the children of God who are fleeing their homes because of war and violence and oppression and dying in the wilderness today? It's been nearly 6 months since we saw the body of Alan Kearney. And in that moment back in September, we wondered, how could this happen? What can we do as people of faith to keep this from happening again? But as the days and the weeks and the months have gone on, those images have faded from the TV and from our computer screens. We've seen less and less pictures of the refugees in Europe, not to mention the children fleeing their homes to escape violence in Central America. That's been over a year. And instead, those images have been replaced with the political stump speeches, newscasts, Facebook snippets, some which many of us are ready to look away from completely, but we've heard and seen them nonetheless, blaming refugees for the problems in the United States. They are blamed for draining the economy, high health care costs, reducing job opportunities. We've heard it. And we start to look away. And all the rhetoric ramps up, and a human being, a child of God, becomes a they, an issue, a statistic, an other, a stranger. This is how it happens when Sarah turns away and casts Hagar out from her home in the wilderness. Her name should tell us something right off the bat. Hagar, this immigrant slave from Egypt with no family or possessions. Her name means stranger. And even this, Sarah refuses to acknowledge by saying her name. To Sarah, she is slave girl, property, other. Perhaps Sarah would even be so bold in this narrative to refer to her immigrant slave girl as an it, but we know from the rest of the story in Genesis that Sarah needs something from her, something very identifiably female, Hagar's womb. And as the story goes on, she is unable to deal with these emotional and social complications of Hagar's pregnancy. And so Sarah quickly goes back to treating Hagar like an object, bringing affliction upon her. And when we first meet the two characters back in Genesis 16, the biblical author invites us to remember the affliction of the Israelite people when they were slaves and strangers in the land of Egypt, when they were objects of Pharaoh's possession to be used and beaten and discarded, when they had served their purpose. And now the oppression, the abuse. is carried in this story on the shoulders of a young pregnant girl bound in slavery who becomes a stranger leaving her home. When Hagar first goes out into the wilderness, she does so on her own accord. She chooses to go out and find something better. She does not go looking for God, but God does not look away from Hagar. God, the loving parent, sees Hagar, not the object, the stranger, but Hagar, the young woman, the child of God who in her body carries the wounds of suffering and also the possibilities for new life. And God promises to make a great nation, a detail sometimes we overlook in the text. We hear about Sarah and Abraham and Isaac and the great nation that will be Israel. But we also learn that God promises Hagar and Ishmael. There will also be a great nation made of them. And this experience transforms Hagar. We're not exactly sure how the transformation affects her and her life, or in the years that pass, the interactions between Hagar and Sarah. Until now, our story in chapter 21, Sarah has borne her son, Isaac, and the two children are seen playing together. We're not quite sure how old the two children are at this time. It's been suggested it changes things if Ishmael's quite a bit older than this little freshly weaned 2 to 3 year old child. But there they are playing, and something that Sarah sees in their play, whether it was some mean action or words, but regardless of what happens between the children, Sarah's intentions are quite clear. It must leave immediately. And there's no choice for Hagar this time. The turn of events here reminds me of the powerful poem written by Worsan Shire. A portion of it is in your meditation, in your bulletin this morning. Shire was born in Kenya of Somali parents who also became refugees, eventually settling in London. And she writes about her experience, how no one leaves home unless home is the mouth of a shark. You only run for the border when you see the whole city running as well. Your neighbors running faster than you, the boy you went to school with who kissed you dizzy behind the old tin factory is holding a gun bigger than his body. You only leave home when home won't let you stay. Hagar left home because home would not let her stay. And now, here, is her child washed up under this bush in the desert in a bright red t-shirt and fading blue shorts? And God does not look away. God sends a messenger to Hagar to overcome the pain of otherness, the suffering of dehumanization and objectification. And God again births possibilities for new life. For Hagar, for Ishmael. And the invitation for us is, friends, we are called to do the same. We are called to be messengers of God to the Hagars and the Ishmaels in the world today, not by looking away, but by first looking a bit closer at how God is at work to bring about life for Hagar and Ishmael. Notice in this story, if you have a chance later this afternoon or this week, read the text slowly. Because first, what God does is God listens. God listens to the cries of a child that still has the breath of life enough to whimper the cries of death in the wilderness. God listens. Where are we hearing the children of God who are talked about in the way that they become an other, an object, a statistic, an outcast? Where are we listening to their voices? And how do we keep ourselves from turning away and really listening? Because when we are able to do so, we're able to then to partner with God and respond. That's what God does next. God sends the messenger, the angels, to Hagar and Ishmael and speaks the words. Do not be afraid. These should be familiar words for us, a people in this Sunday of Epiphany, not that far off from Christmas. We heard them, remember, in a dream to a man named Joseph, unsure of what to do with this now pregnant but not yet wife. Do not be afraid, the messenger says. And to the young Mary, unsure about the plans that God has for her and the child growing inside of her, do not be afraid. To the shepherds, keeping watch over the flocks by night, the bright shining star guiding them to the Christ child, do not be afraid. And in just a few weeks, we will join the women in the darkness of the tomb and hear a messenger of God yet again say to them, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, Hagar. God has heard the voice of the boy right where he is. Now come and lift him up and hold him fast with your hand, the scripture says, because I will bring life from him. Life in the suffering, life in the pain, life in the uncertainty, life in the empty tomb. These words are for us. Do not be afraid. Gates Presbyterian Church. We don't always have the right answers. We don't always know what to do. But we are called and sent as messengers of God. And God will be with us as we keep our attention focused on the Hagars, the Ishmaels, the Elans of the world, as we listen for their voices, as we partner with God to bring about life for those who've been cast out from their home and made strangers in this world. We cannot look away, because to use the closing words of Shire's poem, you have to understand that no one puts their children in a boat unless the water is safer than the land. I want to go home, but home is the mouth of a shark. Home is the barrel of the gun, and no one would leave home unless home chased you to the shore, unless home told you to quicken your legs, leave your clothes behind, crawl through the desert, wade through the oceans, drown, save, be hungry, beg, forget pride. Your survival is more important. No one leaves home until home is a sweaty voice in your ear saying, leave, run away from me now. I don't know what I've become, but I know that anywhere is safer than here. May God always be with us. God's attention turned toward us, that we too might see and respond to the suffering in this world. May it be so. Amen. Incredible hymn. It was written by a Presbyterian pastor. Her name is Carolyn Gillette, and she writes a number of hymns that accompany familiar tunes and that the lyrics are set to contemporary issues in faith that we face and struggle with. There's been a number of great ones, so thank you for being a part of that song this morning. We come now and raise to God our prayers of hope, our prayers of love, our prayers of joy, our concern and sorrow and great need. If you have a prayer concern and would like to share, just raise your hand and a usher will be over with the microphone. If you'll stand, tell us who you are and share your prayer concern. And as those microphones are making their way around, we do surround in prayer our senior high youth and all the advisors who are with them on their winter retreat this weekend. They should be making their way back here pretty soon. So prayers for their safe journey.
Good morning. We need some prayers for Howard and Doris. Doris is now at St. John's Nursing Home. But believe me, they need to go to Howard right at this time. So I hope we have a direct line. Thank you.
Amen.
prayers for Doris and Howard.
Fran Henderson, just an update on Dick. He's at the Jewish home right now, more therapy. Was hospitalized about 3 weeks ago because he passed out. So he's had all kinds of tests, and hopefully he'll be home in a few weeks. Thanks.
Continued prayers for you both, Fran.
David Keeling, for those of you that don't have Facebook, my grandmother had surgery this past week. It went very well, which is a great news. And she was supposed to come home yesterday, but she's still experiencing some pain. So just continued prayers for her recovery. Thank you.
Continued prayers for your grandma, David.
Hi, Jeff Tuttle. Jeff Tuttle, just prayers for Jen and her family on the passing of her grandmother this week. Thank you.
Prayers for the passing of Jen's grandmother. I see one over there. There we go.
Chris Ullman, I just asked for prayers for the SUNY Geneseo community. As a parent, just thought a lot this past week, and praying for all the families and all the parents and the students and friends. And thank you.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Meredith Shaw. I ask for two sets of prayers. One for my father. He has bursitis in his hip, and also they did some tests and found he has absolutely no cartilage left in his hip. So he's in quite a bit of pain, and he's a very active guy, so it's holding him down very badly. And they won't do surgery until it's so painful he can't take it anymore. So I ask for prayers of healing and strength for him. Also, I asked for prayers a few weeks ago for my cousin, who's fighting lung cancer, and unfortunately, she's at the point now where she's in her journey going home to the Lord. So I ask for prayers of peace for her family, for her daughter, and that she passes gently.
We also, one more.
Bonnie Beckett, and our oldest daughter lives in Tennessee. And with this wonderful storm going across the country, I got worried about her. She was out at a concert. She was having a good time. No problem. Do you want me to call you tomorrow morning? And I said, no, call us tomorrow night like you usually do. So
so prayers for her journey home. And
right.
But also many prayers for, I mean, some of us, yes, guilty, have a little bit of snow envy as the blizzard continues out east. But knowing that it really is affecting a lot of people, prayers for continued safety for those who are homebound or without homes. And we also have prayers for and with our children this morning in Sunday school. Apparently the children's sermon inspired them because they all think they're heading out on vacation soon. Maybe I should have held up a calendar a few weeks, but they're excited. And prayers for Thanksgiving, for good dance recitals, joys for making the band, and seeing Mary Poppins, birthday parties, sledding, Pinewood derbies, new babies, and hot chocolate. Amen. And as we continue our time of prayer, the prayer that I will be sharing with you this morning comes from the Presbyterian Disaster Assistance, that part of our One Great Hour of Sharing does help support PDA and their efforts. And this prayer was written keeping the Syrian refugees in mind. Let us pray. God of mercy, we can no longer pretend to be distant from the heartbreak afflicting your children who have fled Syria in fear of their lives, stopped at the borders of countries too overwhelmed to welcome, held in trains, awaiting words of hope, huddled in camps and overcrowded shelters with nowhere to turn and no way to turn back. We can no longer pretend that the small pair of black tennis shoes washed up on the shore could not be the shoes of one of our own sons and daughters. We know the truth that all of these children are our sons and daughters, and their parents are brothers and sisters. We owe them a room in the inn, a place of safety, a chance to live and thrive without fear.
We ask for your forgiveness, O God, for our short attention spans and limited imagination. We pray that you will help us to do better. We pray for those who live in Syria still, for the many whose faith in you has made them a target of hate, for those trying to hold life together, watching, waiting, for the troops down the road and the whistle of incoming shells, for a cry from a desperate neighbor, shout of warning, wondering if it is safe to remain. We pray for neighbors, those neighbors in Lebanon and Jordan and Turkey who have welcomed so many, whose resources are strained under the burden of hospitality, but who are still willing to do more. God, we pray for those of us in the West, in Europe, in the United States, in Canada, whose time for generosity is upon us. May we reach deeply, give generously, and welcome extravagantly. May we lift up our voices in a strong, unified advocacy so that governments will act to save lives and protect your children. Jesus, who said, "Let the children come to me," receive our sorrow and the gift of our broken spirits. We have so much yet to do to welcome even a few of the least of these, to save your broken children, to strengthen, to support their communities, to call the world to accountability, to generosity, and to peace. God, help us pay attention, to find courage, compassion, and hope. We need your grace. In the name of your Son, who taught us to pray together, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." We continue our time of worship, acknowledging that all that we have and all that we are gifts from God, and we offer a portion of those gifts back to God. Let us worship this morning as we receive the morning offering.
Loving and gracious God, help us open our eyes and ears and hearts to welcome the stranger and to use these gifts to help the strangers around us. Thanks be to God.
Of God, go with us out these doors, out where indeed we are called to pay attention, to listen, to respond. And the strength and faithfulness of God, Jesus' commitment to justice and peace, and the courage of the Holy Spirit goes with us now and always. Alleluia. Amen.